So that was me whistling. Anyways. So we had our first ever family fest this past Wednesday. We had over 30 pounds of beef smash burgers eaten. I was really bummed. I thought we did all 40 pounds, but we did over 30 pounds. We had hot dogs. We had a bunch of other, and about 107 people left here very satisfied. That's all I'm saying. So we've got a bunch of stuff kind of going on this summer, a little differently than what we normally do, just to try to get our church family connected. We're growing, and we realize, you know, not everybody knows everybody. We have another service at 8:30, and some people only go there, and so they don't see people at 10, 10 don't see people at 8:30, whatever. So we got a bunch of stuff going on. Our next Family Fest is going to be on July 15th. It's going to be Family Fest Olympics. So we've got marathons. We're going to got steeplechase. We got a bunch of stuff planned. No, I don't know. I don't know what they have planned, but it'll be fun. And the week before that, though, on July 8th, we're going to have pizza with the pastor, and it's just kind of time to eat pizza. Well, I guess then it'll also be if you have questions about the church and that kind of thing. So if you can't make the Connect class in August, you know, come to this one, because we'll be talking about some of the same stuff, and I just want to talk about our church and ask questions or answer questions that people have. Grace Kids on July 11th have something there at Maumee Bay, and so, again, that's one of our fastest growing ministries is our Grace Kids, all these new families coming in and checking things out and sticking around, and it's awesome. We want you guys to be able to get together and get to know each other. You know, that's our goal, that's our hope. Happy Father's Day, gentlemen. Way to go. I guess in this day and age, we could, anyways. But happy Father's Day. Make sure you grab a dad on your way out, a dad's root beer on your way out. Don't be grabbing each other, that'd be kind of weird. So there's this this guy went in for a job interview, and the interviewer was looking over his resume, and he was like, hey, this is very impressive, you got a lot of good experience and stuff, but there's this four-year gap here. I'm not understanding what that four-year gap is. And so the guy wanting the job says, well, that's when I was in Yale. And so the guy, whoa, Yale, that's pretty good. That's impressive. With that, boy, we'd like to, you know, offer you the position. And he goes, oh, thank you so much because I really need the job. Yes. Some of you guys will catch that, start laughing in the middle of the message. Yale, Yob, Job, Jail. It's not funny when you have to explain it. Hey, it's Father's Day, right? A little father, little dad joke. Anyways, so how do you like what's going on in our world today? Anybody pretty happy? It almost sounds like a comedy act. So we've got, like, everything seems to be a war right now, right? You got political wars, people going after each other. You got energy wars. I don't know if you've been up on Facebook community pages, but the data centers. Whoa! there is some definite feelings about that on both sides of the equation. We've got culture wars. We've got physical wars. Evidently, right now, there's anywhere between 120 and 130 conflicts around the world. I got a map to cut. It's interesting where they're located. It's just interesting. I don't have anything other than to say that. It's just interesting where it's at. But imagine, go back to the other slide. I'll give them a heads up here. There you go. Just leave that right there. Get ahead, then everybody's just like not listening to all the awesome things that I have to say. But imagine if all your life, like even before you, generations before you, all the way up to your life and in your life, you were told that the Bible said that the United States would become not just a superpower, but the superpower, the nation, but it was going to be that way forever, that we were always going to be the nation that ran the world. I mean, that would be awesome, right? It'd be kind of like we're the big dogs, and that's kind of nice to have that kind of power. But then somebody comes along and says, you know, actually what you were taught is not exactly accurate because what's going to end up happening is D.C. is going to be decimated, completely leveled, and the United States is going to become a wasteland. Now, if that was the case, what would you, don't answer out loud, but what would you want to know? For me, as I'm thinking about this, I would want to know when's that going to happen. right? I want to be able to plan for something like that. I want to make sure I'm getting all my, you know, meals in a box that will last for 25 years and get all my water out of my barrels that I have at my house and make sure I put the iodine pills in them and make sure I can take that water and drink it eventually. And I'd want to know. Well, that's exactly where the disciples are at right here, right now. They've been told that Israel is going to be the one world power at some point, and it's going to be God's kingdom is going to last forever. But then Jesus comes along, actually the guy who's supposedly going to be leading that kingdom, and he's saying, oh yeah, by the way, the temple, because he just said it again, the temple is going to be destroyed, and it's just going to be a wasteland. Israel is going to be a wasteland. And so they're going to ask him today, when? When's that going to happen? What should we be looking for when that's supposed to be happening? And so, just so you know, if end times, as we have it kind of laid out biblically and we understand it, the entire world is going to be laid a wasteland. Not just Israel, but all, the entire world, including the U.S. And so on that cheery note, let's go ahead and turn to Matthew 24. Some of you guys came walking in. This is Father's Day, and here I was talking about the whole place being decimated. Well, happy Father's Day. And so we're going to be in Matthew 24, and again, the disciples are going to ask this question. So we're going to actually pick it up in verse 3, because Jesus just said again that the temple is going to be destroyed. And they're going to ask, hey, what should we be looking for? You're making these predictions, but what should we be looking for? So that's what we want to talk about today, or that's what Jesus is talking about, so that's why we're talking about it. It says this, as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, so they've left Jerusalem, gone up onto the Mount of Olives. This is chapters 24 and 25, is called the Olivet Discourse. The disciples came to him privately, so Jesus is off having his time with God the Father like he normally does. Again, not that he necessarily needed to do that, but it's an example to us that we should be doing that. But they interrupt his time with God the Father, and they say this, tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be a sign of your coming and of the end of the age? We'd all love to know that, right? But when's this world going to end? Because there's a sense it's going to probably end, right? Jesus answered, and he said to them, and of course he's saying it to us as well, see to it that no one misleads you, no one deceives you. Now, they, as well as we, have a responsibility to know what's going to be happening in our future so that we're not deceived. Jesus is going to say this numerous times. There's a reality in life that if we're ignorant of what the Bible teaches, is that's when we get deceived. And we allow ourselves to be deceived because we're the ones not taking the time to be in God's Word to know what He's talking about. So Jesus is warning against that. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, I'm the Savior, I'm the one who's going to help you, and will mislead many. So, as you find people in this world who are saying, hey, I'm the one that you should trust in, don't be surprised by that. Jesus is saying that's going to happen. There's going to be many people who try to deceive you and me. And many people will be deceived. They'll allow themselves to be deceived. So the question I thought of was, with what you know about the end times, with what you know about the Bible and how God says the world's going to end, would you be deceived? Could you be deceived? Don't answer it all. Just think about it. Would I be deceived? Is there a potential that I could be deceived? Growing up, again, I'm old now, so I can say this. Back when I was a kid, you know, 1988, Jesus was supposed to come back. People were selling their properties and putting on white gowns and going up on hills. Family members believed it. Solid family members believed it. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened. Don't have this inward disturbance, this anxiety. For those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For a nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. In the various places there will be famines and earthquakes. Sounds really familiar. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. I say pains rather than pangs. Is that an actual word, pangs? Pain? Anyway, birth pains. So, Prophecy. 10% of you are all excited. The rest of you just want to go get a root beer and go home, right? So let's just hang in there. If nothing else, we're giving you a root beer, so stick around, right? Yeah, a lot of people don't really care about prophecy. It's just too hard. There's just too many weird things, and I can't quite get everything in order. And well, the disciples are concerned about the end times. They're concerned about Jesus' kingdom. We need to be concerned about Jesus' kingdom. And so as the disciples are asking this question, and Jesus is going to give them some things to pay attention to, and initially, or eventually, an actual sign to look for, he wants us to do the same. It's the responsibility that we have to do that. And so he gives us some general conditions that are in the world, and it's bad, right? I mean, what we just read here, that's pretty bad. But it looks real similar to today. The world's always been this way. And certainly from Jesus' day, once he left and started the church, and we've been living for over 2,000 years, this has been happening. There have been people coming along saying that they're Jesus, saying they have the truth about Jesus, and they're deceiving people. We've got religions that are not even biblical who saying they have the truth. We have other religions that say they're Christians, and yet by the way they lay out Scripture and by who Jesus is and their thinking, they're leading people astray. We've got it happening. We've got political people saying that they're the ones who are in charge and that they're the ones we should trust and that we should follow what they're having to say. We've got wars all around us. We've got rumors of wars. I just heard this week, even, you know, President Trump's got some, you know, is thinking about Cuba and has thoughts about Cuba now. And just, it's happening, right? Russia, Ukraine. And that's the only ones that the news wants you to know about. Again, there's 120, 130 other conflicts that the news will depend on whether we should have it or not. And so it's been happening ever since Jesus. But we have to remember what Jesus is saying is that these are birth pangs or birth pains. These are things that are confirming that future stuff that he's going to talk about are going to happen. We have a tendency sometimes to just kind of be like, well, you know, yeah, it's how the world is. And so it's not a really big deal. I don't have to really worry about it. I don't have to be thinking about it. But it is a big deal. It's actually confirming what's going to be more what Jesus is going to be talking about here. And so Jesus realizes, hey, listen, you know, people don't like this kind of stuff. We don't like it when it's tough outside and when people are giving us a difficult time for following Jesus. And, you know, we don't like all the wars and we don't like all the famines and we don't like all the earthquakes. And so he commands us who are followers of Jesus to do two things. And the first one is to not be deceived. He throws a responsibility on us for us to understand that God's working his eternal plans. And we're part of it, we're in it, but he's working. Don't let the fact that these things have been going on for 2,000 years deceive you into thinking that, oh, that's not going to, it, Jesus must have been wrong, or the, you know, what the Bible says is not actually true, or whatever you might do to be deceived by this. In fact, it's interesting, Peter writes, again, some years later, in 2 Peter 3, people will begin to ask us, hey, where is, you said Jesus was going to come back, where is he? And that was just 30 years after he left, people were going to ask that, and people will ask that today. You say Jesus is supposed to be coming back, well, where is he? And it might cause some believers to start questioning and allowing themselves to be deceived. But Jesus has given us the info here, next week, and then he's given us the New Testament. Right now, he's talking to Old Testament-minded people. They don't know about the church age yet. They're going to live it. But they don't know about it right now. He's talking to the disciples. They don't know about the rapture of the church. They don't really know about the tribulation period. All that's going to be kind of fleshed out in the New Testament. But we're supposed to know it. We're supposed to study it. We're supposed to live in light of what's going on and what's going to happen. We're not to listen to other people who don't know what they're talking about. And again, I just want to encourage everybody. I'm kind of a political junkie to a certain extent. And there are political talking heads, politicians and political talking heads on both sides of the aisle who want to say that they know the Bible and they'll use the Bible. And I'm telling you, in most cases, they're not using the Bible accurately. They're pushing their own little agenda using the Bible. And so we have to be sure that we know and understand. We're not to be slacking off. We're not to be distracted by other things. And if we are, it's our own fault, because we have what God's given us. And he says, don't be frightened. God's got this. These things must happen. God is a sovereign God. And what sovereignty means is that God is infinitely powerful. He's infinitely wise. And so he can operate and make his eternal plans work out even in our free will decisions. And so as governments are making the decisions that they're making, and as local governments are making decisions, as we are making decisions in our own lives, he can still work out his eternal plans because he's that powerful, he's that wise. And so all this is part of it, stirring up this world and letting people see and experience what it's like to not have God in their life, not living out the life that God wants them to live. But it's all confirming what Jesus says. It's all confirming what the Holy Spirit gives to the apostles as they write into the New Testament. And so we need to be committed to not be deceived. We need to be committed to not be frightened, to know what's going on. Why? Because Jesus tells us next, it's going to get worse. You think that was bad? Just wait. And he goes on. He says, then, so at a certain point in time, after all these general things, they, speaking of unbelievers, will deliver you. Believers, generally speaking, especially Jewish believers, to tribulation. Now, again, I'll say this numerous times. The disciples at this point didn't know what we know now. They only had the Old Testament. They had Daniel, which he's going to refer to. And that was a big one for them. And so they discussed what Daniel's predictions meant. 70 weeks, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then the Holy Spirit gave us the New Testament, which then explained a lot of this. And so what I'm trying to do is give you the understanding of what Jesus is telling to these Jewish disciples. Also kind of giving some explanation because we know more. But when we get to the tribulation, again, as we understand Scripture, there's going to be a seven-year tribulation period. God is returning to work with Israel. The church is going to be raptured, and he's going to return to work with the Jewish people primarily during this time. So that's kind of how what he's talking about here. And we'll kill you. Again, it's nothing new, but this is going to be expanded. Why? Because, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. Now, this seems to be something bigger than what the disciples will experience when they become apostles and are dealing with Rome. And it's bigger than what's happening today. We get it that there's anti-Semitism around the world and in our country. You can just hear it all the time. But this has, that it's going to be hated by all the nations, has a sense that the whole world will be against Israel. And there's going to be a point in time in our future where that's going to happen. And as we understand it, it's going to happen during the tribulation period with the Antichrist and all that that comes with that. And so at that time, many, both Jews and non-Jews who profess to follow Jesus, will fall away. They'll fall away from Jesus and the faith, and will betray. So they're not just going to fall away from Christ, stop following him, but they're going to betray those who do. They're going to betray one another and hate one another. So pretending believers, and again, as we kind of look at the tribulation period, my personal view is this is primarily Jewish people. There may be some Gentiles who placed their faith in Christ during the tribulation period, but certainly Jewish people will be doing it. I won't get into all the details, but and so, but there's going to be those who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, so that when the persecution really hits and Jewish believers are being killed and other believers are being killed, they're going to be like, "Yeah, actually, I'm not really following Jesus," which means they never were fully following Jesus. They were just kind of playing the church game. And people like being a part of a church. They like the morals involved. They like the music at church and that kind of stuff. And so there's going to be people who are playing that game. And these people are going to feel like, okay, it's a lot easier to go with the crowd than to go against the crowd. And so in order to show that, we're also going to give up those that are following. Many false prophets will arise and mislead many. So here's some more false prophets, false Christs, people who say they have the information that people need, and they're going to deceive people. And those people are not going to follow Christ. They're going to follow after the government and all that kind of stuff. Because lawlessness is increased, so again, from what it was like before the tribulation, most people's love will grow cold. So people aren't going to be willing to sacrifice for each other anymore. I'll talk a little bit more about that. I won't get ahead of myself. I'll talk about that in a little bit here. But the one who endures, the one who stays faithful to Jesus to the end, could be end of their life if they're killed, or to the end of the tribulation where they go into Jesus' earthly kingdom, he will be saved. So if we hang in there, we follow Christ, if we happen to be in that period at some point, if it happens sooner than later, then we'll enter into the kingdom, and certainly the Jewish believers will as well. This gospel of kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations. And so, again, this could just be us doing our responsibility. Revelation 14 talks about an angel who's going to do this right before the end comes. And so he could be talking about that in this situation. In either case, the gospel is going to be around the world. And then the end will come. The end of what? The end of man governing and ruling, and Jesus coming and ruling on over the earth in his 1,000-year reign that Revelation 20 talks about. So things are going to get worse before the end. Unbelievers will oppress and kill believing Jews, other believers too, but again, I just want to emphasize the fact that God worked with Israel. Jesus came, started the church. Romans 9 through 11, we talked about it in the last few weeks. Paul tells us that God has kind of stepped back from Israel for the time being. He's working with Gentiles, bringing Gentiles to faith in Christ. Then the rapture happens, and then he returns during the tribulation period to work with Israel. For believing Jews, pretenders will reject Jesus and then turn on true believing Jews. And so just, you may have people in your life who profess to know Jesus Christ. And so you're following Jesus, you're doing the things that God wants you to do, but they don't necessarily see that is really how you're supposed to live life. They still want to say they believe Jesus, but they're going to do other things. They may end up rejecting you. I've had people reject me, believers, at least professing believers, reject me because I want to do life the way God wants me to do it. And so that's going to continue. It's going to get worse during this period of time, but we can't just be freaked out about that. We just got to realize, okay, that's part of the... I know people that I grew up with who I thought, man, they are just awesome followers of Jesus Christ, but today, you couldn't tell that in their life. And I could be freaked out and upset about it, and but that's just the way it is. That's just how life is. It's how it's going to be moving forward. Again, false teachers will deceive people. People will be self-absorbed, and they don't want to help people. Talks about this lawlessness, it's hard to say, where people are all about themselves. We are certainly living in a time where this is true. Your truth is your truth, my truth is my truth, right? All right? That's going to be rampant to the point of, because the way things are going to play out, according to what Revelation tells us, the way things are going to play out is it's going to be, I'm going to protect me and mine, and I don't care who you are, I'm going to take from you if I have to. Again, if you've read through your Revelation, you realize how much devastation is going to be on the world. So this makes sense. And so this is scary stuff. People are going to be tempted to give in to the pressure and follow the crowd and not follow Jesus. So Jesus gives us two promises, and the first promise is that he who endures to the end will be saved. Hang in there, follow Jesus, understand what his plan is, stick in there, because if you die because of it, you're going to spend eternity in heaven where you are supposed to be. Or if you live through it, you're going to enter into Jesus' earthly kingdom, which means you're going to hang out on earth for 1,000 years. It's going to be awesome. And then the end will come at that point, and then you go to heaven. I mean, it's just awesome. There's no downside to it. And he says the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world. So we know that this is going to happen. The gospel will go throughout the entire world. Again, it might be talking about the revelation where the angel does it, or it could be talking about us, but we get it that some believers don't want to be involved in that. Okay, whatever, but we who do, we need to go, this is awesome. We're a part of something that's going to continue on, and people from all over the world are going to be placing their faith in Christ. But then Jesus mentions a very specific event next. And the disciples, they've read about this, they've heard about this. It comes out of Daniel, the Old Testament prophet Daniel, and his prophecy of the 70 weeks. I'm not going to break down the 70 weeks. If you have questions about that, I can talk to you afterwards. Because again, they're not really talking about it, so I'm not going to be talking about it. And so, like many believers today have kind of an idea of end times and kind of an idea of Revelation and, you know, blah, blah, blah. These guys probably had the same thing. And so Jesus wants to say, okay, moving forward, what we have to look for is this thing called the abomination of desolation. All right, so here's what he says. Therefore, because the end is going to come, when you see, and this has this idea of you literally will see with your eyes. Well, how will everybody in the world see with their eyes what's happening, this abomination of desolation? I don't have my phone on me. Our phones, right? Live stream, Snapchat, TikTok. You know, that's a lot easier to say. You know, obviously we're going to be able to see it. The abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel, the prophet. So he talked about it in three different places and his prophecies. Standing in the holy place of what? The temple. I should say, I thought the temple was to be destroyed. Jesus said the temple's be destroyed. And now he's saying there's going to be this abomination of desolation in the temple. But I thought you said it was going to be destroyed. Right? So it could be like, what are you talking about? Then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains. Things out that are in the house. In other words, get out. Don't worry about anything else. Whoever's in the field must not turn back to get his cloak. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. But pray that your flight will not be in the winter or on the Sabbath, because on the Sabbath you can only go so many feet. For then, after the abomination of desolation has occurred, there will be a great tribulation. Things are going to get massively worse than what we just got done talking about. Things are going to increase exponentially. How's that for a big word? Such as has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will. He's trying to get the point across. You will have never seen anything like what you're going to see after this abomination of desolation. Moving on. It's so bad that unless those days had been cut short, again by God, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, now again, we believe about the tribulation period, and so this is primarily Jewish believers who have placed their faith in Jesus and not following the world's philosophy, but it could also be non-Jews. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Then if anyone says to you, behold, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe him. Behold, I have told you in advance. In other words, don't be deceived that Jesus is here when he's not here yet. So if they say to you, behold, he is in the wilderness, do not go out. Or behold, he's in the inner rooms, do not believe them. All right, so don't be looking for any other Christ or people to follow. Follow Jesus. For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Again, he's using a title that Daniel uses, that everybody understood it was from Daniel. And so nobody's going to be wondering if Jesus is showing up or not. When he shows up, it's going to be obvious to everybody. All right? And wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. Some people debate this and what he's talking about. We understand this, right? You understand what he's saying? You drive down the road, you see a bunch of turkey vultures. What do you know is below him? Death. Right? Yeah. So what he's saying is, it's obvious, right? It's going to be obvious when Jesus shows up. So he gives us this sign. They've asked for a sign, and here's your sign. The sign is abomination of desolation, and then things are going to get really, really bad. So, again, they don't know about the church age. They don't know about the rapture. They're just knowing at some point down the road something's going to happen. We know now about the church age and the rapture. We've been able to study that out with Daniel 70 weeks and all kind of stuff. So I want to give you a chart that kind of explains, again, there's debate on this, but this is what we believe is, in our end times understanding. Christ came the first time, Jesus' ministry, we're reading about it in Matthew. He ascends after his death, the church age starts. It's the fullness of the Gentiles. We read that last couple of weeks in Romans 11. Matthew 24, 4 through 8 could fit into this time period, the things that are going on, wars, rumors of wars, famines. Rapture of church happens. Then you have the seven-year tribulation. Revelation 4 through 20 talks about that. Matthew 24, 9 through 28 seems to be sitting in this time period. And then Christ's second coming, which will be obvious. And then he enters into the thousand-year reign of Christ. So what I want to do is I want to zoom in on the church age to his reign. There's a point in time halfway through the 7 years, Daniel's 70th week, where this abomination of desolation takes place. So 3.5 years in, this happens, and then there's 3.5 years left. Tribulation, great tribulation. And so, so what is this abomination of desolation? It's a desecration by a non-Jewish person who desecrates or ruins the temple. And he's going to be standing in the temple, the holy place, when this happens, okay? And so Daniel talks about it in Daniel 9. There's going to be a world leader who puts together a peace agreement with Israel that hasn't happened. Seems to be something that's going to happen in the future. And halfway through, according to Daniel 11, halfway through, he's going to say, no more sacrifices in the temple, which means they're going to have to build a temple. They don't have one. And so he's going to say, no more sacrifices, worship me. And then that's going to happen. Let's see, I want to make sure I get the right phrase. So he's going to be exalt himself to a godlike status. Daniel 12 says that's going to last for 1,290 days, which is 3.5 years. Revelation 13, because now we have that, we can read that. And the beast, or the Antichrist, in Revelation 13, stands up and says, worship me. And he spoke against God. He deceived people. He performed miracles for 42 months. 42 months is 1,290 days, which is 3.5 years. So when you're doing end times prophecy, sometimes what you'll get is what we would call a near future partial fulfillment of that prophecy. And some people may point to it and say, ah, that's it. And they'll be, no, that's not it. Because there's a far future, complete fulfillment, all right? So I just want to give you a couple of them that people would point to and say, oh, that fulfilled what Jesus is talking about, but it couldn't. One was right after, or a few years after Daniel made this, and before Jesus came, there was a guy named Antiochus Epiphanes, and who was supported by Greece, and he went into the temple and he sacrificed a pig, which would have desecrated the temple. So those reading Daniel's take before Jesus would have looked at that and said, oh, that's what Jesus was talking about. But it can't be because there's no agreement, peace agreement. The Jews defeated the guy in 165 BC and then they purified the temple and continued using the temple. And again, Jesus says it's going to happen in his future. So that couldn't be it. Then in AD 70, so after Jesus, about 40 years after Jesus, General Titus, Roman general, came in with his army. Again, no peace agreement was made, so that can't be right. They actually put a fence or a wall around Jerusalem to keep people from fleeing. So obviously the fleeing couldn't have happened that Jesus is saying needs to happen. Then they destroyed the temple with fire. They didn't even go in. They just destroyed it from the outside with fire. But again, the believers who are reading this later will be like, oh, that must be what he's talking about, and be deceived by that. Then John's revelation actually helps clarify that what he's talking about is something that was in their future, but it's also something that's in our future. And so there's a point in time, because Israel has not had a peace agreement with this world leader who's leading the world, not just a world leader, if you know what I'm talking about. And so that hasn't happened yet. Israel also doesn't have a temple. There's a debate as to where the temple would be. Some believe it might be in the town of Shiloh. Others would be, well, no, it's where the old temple was. The problem is there's a mosque sitting on there. And so when you think about end times and what God's going to do, there's going to be something happening. So where these guys were looking for the abomination of desolation, and that's what they should have been looking for, we know now, oh, there's some other things too that we can be kind of aware of, right? Before Christ comes back to earth. Anyways, so moving on. So we have the conditions are going to be so bad. So what do we mean by conditions being bad? Well, if you've read in the book of Revelation, I'm just going to give you three details. One is there's going to be a quarter of the earth population killed in one event. A quarter of the earth population. So I don't know what our numbers are today, but basically 2 billion people will be killed in one event. Imagine trying to bury or cremate 2 billion people around the world. What's that going to do to our environment? What's that going to do to our societies? What's that going to do to people when they see 2 billion people who are dead, which, by the way, disappearing because of the rapture? You ever wonder why the government is so into UFOs right now? Just throwing stuff out there to make people go, what? A third of the trees will be burned up. A third of the water will be contaminated. You won't be able, a third of the water in one event, you won't be able to drink the water. Meteorites are going to be destroying large sections of land and sea. They're going to be killing the sea animals. There's going to be death, there's going to be plagues, there's going to be one disaster after another. It's no wonder people are going to be fully focused on self, climbing over each other to try to get whatever they need to survive. And then Jesus reminds us again, oh, by the way, there's going to be false Christs and prophets, and they're going to be actually doing some powerful things, trying to deceive people to think that they have the power and move people away from Jesus. And so for those believers, specifically Jewish believers in Jerusalem, Jesus says, hey, I want you to do something. You need to do something when you see this happening. Flee. Get out of Judea. Get to the mountains. John tells us that when that happens, God's going to supernaturally protect those people from the Antichrist. And he's saying again, don't be deceived. Don't follow after the Christs, the Saviors, the people who are going to provide and protect. Wait for Jesus, because you'll know when he shows up. If they're saying Jesus is over there, don't believe it. Why? Because Jesus is coming and it's going to be powerful. It's going to be obvious. And then Jesus goes ahead and describes. He says, but immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. And the stars will fall from the sky. And it's a future tense. So it's star after star after star after star. Probably not talking about actual stars. Probably talking about space junk. You know, meteorites and space junk that's coming out of the sky, and they, to them it looks like stars, but we know that it could be space junk. And the powers of the heavens will be shaken. There's a debate as to whether that's the demonic powers or the fact that Colossians tells us that Jesus is the one who holds the earth together and the universe together, and now he's pulling back, and it's causing issues with all the scientific laws and that kind of thing. And then the sign of the Son of Man, which again, Old Testament prophet Daniel's title for Messiah, will appear in the sky. So it's going to be Jesus himself is the sign. It's not going to be a burning cross. They used to think it's going to be a burning cross coming out of the sky. No, it's going to be Jesus who's the sign. And then all the tribes, the people of the earth, will mourn. They'll realize that that's it. God, Jesus is God. Jesus is Savior. Jesus is Lord. They asked for the mountains to fall on them so that Jesus... they wouldn't have to mess with Jesus, which is kind of a sad thing to hear. But, and they will see, coming out of Daniel 7, the Son of Man coming on the clouds. That word cloud there is kind of cool. It means small cloud. It's connected to God's glory, connected with the cloud that led Israel, connected with the cloud that was over Jesus when he, in his transfiguration. It has to do with God's glory. It's kind of cool. So clouds of the sky with power and great glory. So it's bringing the end to those who rejected Jesus as Savior and Lord. And he will send forth his angels with, and he combines some Old Testament passages here, a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect, those who trusted in Jesus, from the four winds throughout the world and from one end of the sky to the other. And you remember Jesus last week was saying, how I wanted to gather you as chicks under my wings. And he's going to have that opportunity to do that and bring people, his people, into the kingdom, his millennial kingdom, the 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth. There can be no doubt when Jesus shows up. People are going to know He's God, they're going to know He's Savior, and they're going to know He's Lord. Those who haven't trusted in Him, they're going to be judged for their rebellion, for their sin. Those who have trusted in Him, you're going to be gathered into His kingdom. And it's really kind of a mind-blowing stuff. I get it. You know, we don't spend a whole lot of time thinking about it. This is mind-blowing stuff. But as you read it around us and how our world operates, you might be wondering, how can the world all kind of gather together to do one thing? I just say the word COVID, right? Whatever side you are on COVID, it doesn't matter. The point is, notice how the entire world started doing the same things, right? Because when people are fearful, they're looking for somebody to give them direction. And this is going to be way beyond COVID. They're going to be looking for somebody to give them their lives, and they're going to be willing to do whatever. And so we have to be kind of ready for that, because we don't know when that time's going to come. Jesus is going to talk more about this, end of 24 and into 25, so we'll be reading ahead, kind of get a handle on what He's talking about, and we'll go ahead and start working through it again next week. But again, I get it that Jesus is talking to His Jewish audience, but we're here now, we're reading it, and so I just want to remind us of what Jesus already told us. And so our takeaways is this: don't let yourself be deceived. God's given us this information. Why? Because He wants us to know it. Spend time reading it, studying it, getting a handle on it, so you're not deceived, so you don't get pulled away in one direction or another and away from Christ. Listen, ignorance leads to deception. If you don't know, you're going to be more apt to be deceived. Secondly, don't freak out. As we see our world going, I almost used the word for my other life. When we see it going into the pooper, we want to freak out. Oh no! The government's doing this, the government's doing that, the nation's doing this, the nation's doing that, these things are happening, and these things. No, just don't freak. God's got it. He's telling us He's got it. He's sovereign. He's working out the details. We just need to be focused on doing life the way God wants us to do it. And then the third thing is, get the gospel out. Other people need to know this. Other people need to know that Jesus is their Savior, that He's willing to be their Lord. We need to be able to point it out to people. This kind of stuff is fun to bring up to people because it'll get them thinking. They may give you a hard time. They may make fun of you initially. But you bring it up and you get them thinking, it's kind of a fun time. And then you can give them a little bit of understanding as you read about it and study it. And you can tell them about who Jesus is and what He's done for them. Lastly, a great way to do this, we got the new believers class coming up this Wednesday. Love for people to show up and be a part of that. If you're a new believer, I think this is great for you to kind of solidify and understand what happened to you at that moment of salvation. If you're a believer who's been around for a while, great reminder, but also gives you the tools to talk to other people. And if you have people who don't know Jesus, bring them with you. And we can tell them more about who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for them and their need for Him. Sound good? All right, let's go ahead and stand. I'm going to pray. And then guys, take multiple bottles of Dad's Root Beer because we've got plenty out there. They're right out there in that big old igloo thing. So, Heavenly Father, again, this is mind-blowing type of stuff for us. We have a tendency to focus pretty much on the day-to-day and not think about the future. But, Lord, I pray that we who follow Jesus, that we would be wise and to have a handle on what's going to happen in the future so we can not be deceived and we can not have to freak out and just realize that You got it. And that'll just motivate us in order to see other people come to faith in Christ. Lord, thank You for the fact that You do have it, that You're a sovereign God, that You're a good God, and that You provided us a way of salvation through Christ. And we pray in His name. Amen. Thanks for coming. Happy Father's Day. Have a good rest of the day.